Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rave Reviews Book Club's Rave Wave Blog Talk Radio Show. Bring on the spotlight. I am your host, Wendy Scott, broadcasting live from Hokitika, West Coast, New Zealand. This segment of Bring on the Spotlight is being sponsored by Mind Your Goddess by Flossie Benton Rogers. We'll learn a bit more about this title later in the show. Gracing us with their presence today from Dallas, Texas, USA, is Charles Brakefield and Roxanne Berkey, co-authors of The Enigma Rising, Book 2 of the Enigma series, which is currently on Amazon pre-order. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for Rox or Charles during our live show, please feel free to join in on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC on the Bring on the Spotlight. Or if you've pre-registered your phone number, you can call into the studio with your questions and comments, and we'd love to chat with you. So thanks for joining us today, Rox and Charles. It really is an honour to have both of you on the show.
Wendy, thanks. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to visit with somebody in such a faraway time zone.
Rox, I'm going to start with you. Your bio mentions you are a seasoned customer experience business architect who optimizes customer solutions on their existing technology foundation. You've been a featured speaker, subject matter expert, interviewer, instructor, and author of technology documents, but you've discovered writing fiction is a lot more fun than white papers. So please tell us a bit about yourself, your family, your hobbies, and your pets if you have any.
Wow, I mean, all that sounded so much better when you say it, Wendy. So, you know, after working in technology for, you know, over two decades, you end up learning a lot. And I have found that one of the things I learned the most is that I really like solving people problems and customer problems. So leveraging the insights for technology, interactions with people in general, really is something that makes my heart soar. Family-wise, I have two sons that live in the Texas area. One of them is down near the state capitol, and one of them is much closer here in the DFW area. I love to cook. I love to go on bicycle rides for long distances, and I absolutely adore travel. So right now with the, you know, stay home, stay safe, it's not as much fun.
No, it's not. Rox, I was a Venture Scout, and in your bio, you mentioned that you are a Girl Scout. What skills did you learn as a scout that helped you later in life?
I think I earned every single badge that was available. I ended up with three different, ribbons, as it were, that had badges on them. But one of the best ones was the cooking, which I took very early on, and the sewing. You know, I was taught as a young child that the white picket fence was the way to go. As I grew up, I found out that wasn't a reality, but it did allow me to start a business at the ripe old age of 15, sewing clothes for people. And so I did get into that, and designing clothes. And I really thought that was going to be, you know, a direction that I wanted to go on the creative front. But, gee, it's so hard to eat that way. So, but I think those were the most valuable for me.
Oh, it's wonderful. Now, let's get to know Rox's co-host, Charles Brakefield. Now, Charles is a renowned technology solution architect with 25-plus years of experience in security, hybrid data telecommunication environments, and unified communications. Charles enjoys World War II history, travel, and cultural exchanges everywhere he can. Charles's love of wine tasting, cooking, and Harley riding has found its way into the Enigma series. So Charles, please tell us a bit about yourself, your family, your hobbies, and your pets, if you have any.
Well, I'm like Roxanne, I'm an overachiever. The things that I like, I'm passionate about. World War II, the problems that those created and how they got solved. That's the, I guess that all kind of leads all back to the kind of stories I like to read. We had hit it off early on, first part of this century, writing technical white papers, and we haven't slowed down since. So all of our experiences, all of the things that we've learned over X number of years that I don't feel comfortable reciting at this point, they find their way into the books. And that's, we've had people say, how did you know that? Some of this is, your books have an international flavor because, I like to snorkel in the Red Sea, the Mediterranean, the Caribbean. Still looking to be able to get down to your neck of the woods and do snorkeling down there, too. Got a couple of daughters that, for the most part, I'm fairly proud of. They do have a tendency to test my patience from time to time, but that's the male flaw in me, I suppose, if I could be so forthcoming with my designation.
Oh, we don't mind forthcoming at all. Charles, I'm interested. Have you tried any New Zealand or Australian wines?
Are you pouring? I mean, go ahead and fax me some. I do. There's some very, very fine wines, Chardonnays that come out of that part of the world are very much to my palate. So, yes, very much that and Chile, Argentina, I'm constantly learning, so... I'm happy to be able to expand my palate.
Oh, it's a great endeavor. Over on Twitter, Jan Sykes has made a couple of comments, and she's got wonderful to know that you sew. My grandkids are always giving me things to repair for them. They think I can fix anything. So Jan's with you, rocks. And Jan says, Charles. Charles, it's easy to picture you enjoying historical fiction. It's amazing. It has to be kismet that you and Rox wound up writing together as a team. So let's talk about your techno thriller book, The Enigma Rising. The book description states, the disappearance of a wealthy Brazilian industrialist daughter, Lara, causes Thiago to hire the world's most elite information gathering unit, the R Group, to quietly locate and return her. Is the heiress in trouble and gone forever, or merely hiding in plain sight to escape her destiny? So, Rox, please tell us a little bit more about the Enigma Rising.
So, The Enigma Rising is very interesting. You know, it is part of the series. However, it was written to be a standalone, as were each of the books. And in this particular case, we have Lara, who is missing and is nearest because she decided to go contrary to her father, which, you know, we have some situations that we could draw upon to make that happen.
We have some history there. You're right. Okay. Yeah.
And we have two bad boys. And when we say bad boys, it's the kind of bad boys that moms, at least here in the States, always tell their daughters never to go near. You know, the wild ones, the fun ones, the mysterious ones. And so it is a bad boys scenario with a missing heiress who is absolutely very gorgeous. And the R group is our underlying good guys group. That are information brokers across the world, and they're based in Zurich. So it's quite an interesting chase as to who's smarter than whom.
I'm just going to go back to Twitter for a moment because I've got some interesting comments here. Shirley H. Slaughter says, Charles, isn't it amazing how you can find someone who is meant just for you? You two seem to be made for each other. It doesn't happen often in life.
That's probably true. And so, you know, when you've got a good friend and a somebody of a like mind, it's hard to turn loose of them. So, you know, we stay close. We're always on instant messaging throughout the day, except when she's done on a hardcore RFP, you know, get this answered, or I'm in a you know, technical support role trying to solve a problem. We usually touch base several times during the day, just saying, how's it going? What about this? You know, so it works. And it's, yeah, very satisfying to have her as a friend as well as a co-author.
And Shirley's comment is interesting because at the beginning of our co-working together, because we worked in companies together, I actually hired Charles to work in my organization. So just kind of an odd coincidental thing.
So what was the trigger that made you guys decide to actually write together?
So we wrote technical documentation for a couple of the organizations that we've worked for, and I can say that quite honestly because, well, I'm old, that we've worked for more than one company. And we wrote white papers and technical documentation, and we're subject matter experts. And then we decided to publish a couple of nonfiction technology books, which were stale the day they were released because technology moves so quickly. And Charles decided he never wanted to write together again. And so I went home with my toys and I started noodling around with stories and decided that fiction might be more fun and we could get a lot of writing done if we did it together as co-authors. So I brought him kind of the first part of his story and he read it and kind of looked at me with eyebrows raised and I said, and we can kill people legally here. That did it.
Oh, that's hilarious. Over on Twitter, Jan Sykes says, lots of laughs, Charles. I agree, there's some very fine wines from New Zealand. And Ronnie Deshaies says, it's always fun to put stuff we know, like, into our books. And I'm thinking, as soon as you said bad boys, I thought of Ronnie Deshaies because she likes to write about bad boys too. Bashdy Q has a question. She goes, hello, I enjoy cycling and traveling as well. You're an impressive pair of overachievers. Do you ever find yourself competing with one another? Good question, Vashti.
Well, it's not a, you know, one-upmanship. How much further can we take the bar up for, and it's a point of honor. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll wake up, you know, and I'm munching on my cornflakes and vodka, and I think, hey, I've got a great idea, and I'll whack it out and then send it over to her, and she was like, really? My goodness, let's talk about that. And so, you know, there's that, okay, that could be better, that kind of conversation, and I, because of that, you know, that streak in me, like, can you do better? We want to do better as storytellers and novelists. So it's sort of a curse. Yeah. Cause it's like, well, can we make this any better? Cause sometimes it's like you overworked it, Charles. So, I stand accused and, point taken.
So we don't really,
like there's a lot of honesty between you two.
Yeah. And we don't really compete because we have different skills. So it's interesting that we, just like he said, he'll send something over and I'll do the same thing. It allows us to take our strengths and they don't, our strengths really don't overlap, except when it comes to, we do cookathons between the households, you know, now and again, like one's coming up for Memorial Day. And so, you know, whoever can find the best recipe, now that's a little competition going on there.
Oh, that would be wonderful to be in the middle of that. Now, Jan Sykes says, can you guys clear up your relationship status? So many people assume you are a couple.
And we are a couple of co-authors, but Charles has his household and his family, and his wife, Sandy, is actually our editor. But we're we're best friends, and you know, I looked after his daughters when they were younger, and my sons are much older than his daughters, actually. So we're just really good friends, and we appreciate working together.
Yeah, and she's too modest about it, but she's actually the godmother from my youngest daughter. So our families go back that far. So it's I know it's sometimes difficult for people to believe that males and females can be friends and contributors to an organization, but there it is. I mean, that's nothing more I can add to that that discussion.
Now, Nonnie Jules says, Charles and Berkey, I am so excited to read this book with a big exclamation mark.
Oh, good. Yay.
And I have Ronnie Deshay. I just love this. I preempted her. She's got, oh, love me some Bad Boys.
Well, you're going to enjoy that that book. We've got some people in there that okay, I'll go ahead and tell you, they are people that these are real. Some of these characters are real people. The bank robber Robert, I actually met him. He was it was an early on in my career when I was doing financial services, and he wanted to get in touch with somebody who knew about investing and investing dollars. Imagine my surprise when I found out that he had been incarcerated by the police for robbing not one but 20 banks. So, needless to say, I didn't make any profit off of that guy. And then I stumbled into another friend that JR. That well, let's just say that when the FBI showed up to talk to me about him. Boy, you can. That's a real uncomfortable situation. And yes, they show up in pairs. So, but he was an interesting individual because apparently he murdered his first wife to be able to get the insurance money to launch a drug business. So, we've got some, I would say, a colorful cast of people that we've brought in.
Oh, what a great canvas to work from. Ronnie Deshay also says the ability to legally kill people is a great perk for writers.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the things that's interesting about our stories is, you know, we do take a technology foundation, and it's always a real technology because that's what we're exposed to in our normal work lives. And, you know, we've tested many different kinds of technologies over the years. But then on top of that, we layer things like people and relationships and travel and, you know, a little bit of humor and some romance, because that's how life rolls. And so you'll find elements of those scattered throughout the books because that's how people live. But the humor is pretty interesting in some of these. I keep trying to learn humor. It's the only place we compete in because I'm not funny. Charles is funny.
Well, Yvette Calero, she goes, I also love traveling and wine. Traveling nutches the soul and wine soothes the belly and the mind. Lots of laughs. And I've got a gorgeous comment from Wanda Fisher. She goes, I envy people who can sew. I flunked apron in the 7th grade, so I know not to try anything complicated. I flunked skirt too. Those are the only things I ever failed in school.
Nice comments.
And I've got Shirley H. Slaughter says, you both discovered how well you work together and inadvertently discovered you can write together as well. A match made in heaven. So interesting. Nonnie Jewel says, Charles and Rocks, I believe that males and females can be friends. You guys keep rocking.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you guys fairly recently joined RRBC. And Rox, you're already a very supportive member with even hosting a new Rave Wave show on Zoom called Eyes on the Book. So I'd like to ask you both, how did you come to know about the Rave Reviews Book Club and how has being involved with the RRBC community benefited you?
Well, Jan Sykes, we met her early on in Texas Authors, and she's always a stabilizing fixture in the community. And so when she says, "Have you checked these people out? They've got my highest rating," and then those are the people I like to hang out with. And so when we see that, we get that kind of recommendation. It's something of a carte blanche in our minds to be able to go explore. And we've been surprised and delighted at the all the different attributes that, Roxanne's even hosting that one show, as you mentioned. So it's fun to be in the in a community that's so supported back and forth.
And it's really, really nice to be able to meet all of the different people. I mean, Wendy, yourself included. Now that I have a friend in New Zealand, you know I'm going to figure out a way to get there.
Oh, you're more than welcome to come. We love visitors. When they open the borders.
This is such a supportive group. And when we started down the path of writing for fiction, as not the other work writing that we do, but fictional writing, we really stumbled a lot on many, many points, which has made us better authors. It's made us even consider the second edition release of The Enigma Rising, which is featured on this wonderful spotlight tour. But the RRBC community has been very, I don't know, family. It's like having an extended family. And I like that. And I'm very grateful that Jan Sykes helped us into this group. I really am.
I always call RRBC my global family. Because I have daily dealings with RRBC, and I probably chat and talk with my RRBC friends more often than some my own family in New Zealand. I just want to.
How long have you been with RRBC, Wendy?
I've earned my 6-year badge, and I am a lifetime member.
Wow!
So I've got So I'm a forever member.
Impressive.
Oh, I love. I've got the shiny badge up on my blog. I'm very, very proud of being part of RRBC. Charles Rocks, do either of you or both of you have any writing or life advice you'd like to share?
Well, I would offer that you can do it better. You can learn something. You can practice. Practice is always the thing that we strive for, and sometimes it's just chipping away at a technical manual that they said, here, evaluate this, or can you write me up a quick note on this. And so it spills over into other areas. And so it's been an advantage. I'll just put it to you like that, for being able to write and challenge yourself. Okay, is this the right message? Am I communicating correctly? Right? Sounds okay on this side, but how will it be perceived on the other side? And that's where you get into the heart of writing. So you can't do that overnight. I can't do it overnight. You can't do it just once. You've got to practice at it. And it's a discipline. And after a while, it's like any other profession. It's almost natural. And that's where you've made that you've crested the top of the practice session. And now it's the finesse and the things that where a well-chosen word means somebody got the joke, or somebody, just like, huh, what? So that would be my advice. Rox, how about you?
I think that practice is part of it. I also think it is taking risks and going out of your comfort zone. Early on I mentioned, and it's been what we have done, that, technology was a good foundation because it was something we knew and something we were familiar with. But we started branching out a couple of years ago with, kind of tiptoeing into some different genres to see if we liked it, enjoyed it, could find a better, you know, pace with it. And, you know, in many ways, I have found personally that those are really fun vignettes, even though I really like the core of the series. So I think taking a risk and trying, and in the case of RRBC, having such a warm group to help you along those ways, things like going into the 90-day short story or, you know, some of the other opportunities that are presented here are very good. And they just happen to hit the right chord for us where we want to be able to expand. And quite honestly, my ideal goal is to be a full-time writer and be able to live it the same way that I live now. I need to work harder.
That's wonderful advice. I absolutely agree. The RRBC activities and events have certainly stretched me as a writer too. I never really wrote short stories until the Alpha Omega competition came along, and Nonnie sort of challenged me, and I thought, oh, you know, it's not really my thing. And she said, oh, you can do it. And now I write lots of short stories. Those challenges, that stretching yourself, is certainly the way to go. Look, we've got lots of comments over on Twitter, so we'll just catch up with a couple of those. I have author Nonnie Jules saying, I'm so glad you're enjoying the RRBC community. And Jan Sykes says, we all stumbled when we started down this crazy path, and searching for groups that can really provide support is like looking for a needle in a haystack. And Ronnie goes, RRBC is absolutely a family, such wonderful people.
Great comments. I'm sorry. Yes, Wendy.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that our time has actually flown. And I'd like to thank you so much for visiting with us. And I'd just also like to mention that my cat has joined me on my mouse pad.
Nice.
You just have to picture him. So Zippy's here. And so I'd like to thank you for being my guests on Bring On The Spotlight. And congratulations on being RRBC's Spotlight Authors for this month. But now we're going to just share some news about another RRBC member. And this is member Flossie Benton Rogers, and she is author of Mind Your Goddess.
Mind Your Goddess by Flossie Benton Rogers. The goddess Epona is breathless over a lover's tryst with a dark guardian of the between. Before she can meet him, she must hear the pleas of her supplicants. Strange requests originate from a captive little girl and a succubus seeking revenge. Then the goddess Epona is attacked and abducted. She awakens, stranded in the human realm of the Roaring Twenties. With her powers nullified, she assumes the guise of a flapper in a speakeasy. Her world is now razzle-dazzle and cool jazz. Knowing the little girl is nearby, however, she seeks to save her. The dark guardian rushes to find his missing goddess. When he does, he vows to protect her from the demons set on her destruction. Mind Your Goddess by Flossie Benton Rogers is book 3 in a series. Can the goddess save the little girl and overcome misfortune? Mind Your Goddess by Flossie Benton Rogers is available on Amazon in Kindle format. Pick up your copy today.
I'd like to thank everyone who joined us today in the Peanut Gallery on Twitter. Rox and Charles, please, after the show, if you'd like to stop by and respond to all the comments on Twitter at RRBC Bring On The Spotlight, because I didn't have time to read them out all online.
We'll do it.
Once again, thanks to our guests, Charles Brakefield and Rox Berkey, for sharing us with their co-authored book, The Enigma Rising, which is currently on pre-order for 99 cents with a release date of June 5, 2020. So race out and snag your copy. Listeners, your reviews help authors' books get discovered. So if you've read a fabulous book, please post your review. This is your host, Wendy Scott, thanking you for tuning in today and listening to Bring On The Spotlight, a Rave Waves production. And be sure to join us next time for another episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. So until next time, happy reading, everyone. Thanks, Charles and Rox.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
My pleasure. Bye.
Be safe.